Yeah, let's get this thing fired up and get on with it. It's the news, according to me. I don't know where my southern drawl came from. It's kind of odd. Hopefully this thing works. It's computer's having some little hiccup here, issues here. Good morning. It is Monday morning, May 13th, almost the middle of May already. 5:13. It is 7:22 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home studio this morning, as usual. I've been kind of in a rut with that, just like I am with my chai. The one thing here, guess what's in my backup cup today? You'll probably never guess. I could probably give you 1,000 guesses and you wouldn't guess it. I have no backup cup this morning. Psych. There's nothing there. I reached over and there was nothing there. Yeah. Very disappointing. To talk to my producer about that. It's supposed to be in my contract. I'm supposed to have cups. You know, a certain amount of cups available. Really didn't happen. So we have, so much in the news going on. Interesting things are happening in the Democrat Party they're freaking out. They are freaking out. It tends to be a rather emotional bunch anyway. They tend to kind of thrive on emotional, crazy, wacko-ness stuff. I think that they are. They're just beside themselves right now. Carville. It's the economy stupid guy. The guy from the Bill Clinton era. He was the one who was the, he is the Bill Kristol, not Bill Kristol. He's the, what's the guy's name? It was George Bush's, they call him the architect, I think. Whatever his name is. I'll think of it eventually. But there was this guy who was kind of, he's been a pundit now. He always has a little whiteboard, carries it around. He's kind of their guy. Carville was the mastermind of the Clinton campaign, and this guy was the mastermind of the Bush campaign. Everybody thought George Bush was going to lose in 2004 election, and he pulled it off. Of course, that was after he cheated, because the Supreme Court decided for him, which is why we now have a justice that says, well, we didn't have riots back then when we just made that decision. We have riots now. Can't cause riots. They're afraid of the mob. They're cowards. That's what that is. Well, I apparently jumped out of bed too early. I stayed up till as late as I could because I have to be up late tonight. I could potentially be up late tonight. I have this issue of potentially having to work. I'm kind of on a late shift call type thing right now, and I'm going to head out this morning. I'm just going to go to the boat and hang out there to be within range of in case they call me for something. It'll be a rough day if they call me. If they don't call me, it'll be a nice day. I'll be able to come home tonight. Well, I wasn't planning on coming home tonight. But as it stands right now, I need to be home for the dogs tomorrow morning. So of course, that's a bigger issue. We'll see how that all works out. I don't know. It's a tremendous problem that the people who do the scheduling for these things don't always. Sometimes they make a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of new people there. all the time. Just, it's like a revolving door. And it's, it just, they tend to schedule people not as efficiently. And I know they try to use all the procedures and techniques and everything that they do. But sometimes they don't have the depth of knowledge to be able to foresee some things. Say, oh, we probably shouldn't do this. Probably should just put these people on there, and then just, we'll just have those people work over there. That'll save us this, all this, and this. They're doing their job right, and things are normal. I would never be called. I could go 2 months and not be called. But but when things start falling apart, when there's mechanical issues, when there's bad situations, unforeseen things. That's why we have people on call, those kinds of things. But they tend to end up calling people that they shouldn't have to call. So Dana Carvel, I think it's Dana Carvel, went on a rant over the weekend, along with Bill Maher, the guy from Politically Incorrect. I don't know what his show's called now. He always changes the name of his show. It's the same show. It's just him talking about his opinions, and it's all about him. The only case now against Trump that is actually sticking at all, or that has any possibility of keeping him from becoming a candidate, is the Stormy Daniels thing. It blows my mind, because this has come up several times, and here we are again with Stormy Daniels, and now she's claiming this Me Too thing. She was scared. She blacked out. And I hope that people can see the disingenuous nature of this whole thing. It blows my mind that she, Michael Cohen is such a sleazy lawyer, dirty, lying, certified liar. I mean, he literally certified. He went to prison for lying. And yet he's still a pundit on MSNBC. Predominantly. He's on there all the time. He's got this TikTok thing. I think most of the people that watch it probably just watch it to see, it's like watching a train wreck. The other day he was on TikTok and he was throwing a tizzy fit rant thing. And he was wearing this t-shirt that said jail Trump. Of course, it showed, Trump behind bars. Picture, it had his picture. I think it was his image of, it was kind of a caricature image of his, was the mugshot that he had taken. And so they put that picture with bars in front of it. He's selling those t-shirts. And it says jail Trump on it. So I guess he got chewed out for that, which I guess is highly unethical for. Is he still a lawyer? I can't believe this guy's still a practicing lawyer, that the bar hasn't completely just dismissed him. Fannie Willis, again, that case has gone by the wayside because she basically has, there's so many other cases against her now, ethics violations, all kinds of things that are going after her. The whole thing has been put on pause. She may be removed from the case and another prosecutor given the case, in which case they may just drop it all together. Now, the problem, of course, now what Bill Maher was going on about. Is it Bill Maher? I think it is. Are there two Bill Maher's? Because there's one that I know. There's a Bill Maher that. Let me see if I got the right one here. There's one that is a. Yeah, I think there's two. There's a Bill Maher. Real time, I guess it's called now. Bill Maher. Yeah. Okay. That's. There we go. Yeah, that's the guy. Bill Maher. There's another Bill Maher that is a different guy. But this is Yeah. Now, I guess the show now is called Real Time. Yeah. Whatever that means. So we have, these guys are flipping out. Danny Carville went on this wild rant, went on and on and on about how they're losing it. The Democrats are losing it because January 6th did not play out the way, you know, people aren't buying into this idea that it was just some kind of crazy. He basically saying, no, there's this way. He's a realist. At least he's trying to live in Realville. See, this isn't catching with the American people. They're not on board with this. Zakid Fahari, whatever the guy's name is, who's a pundit, again, Zakid, let's see if I can find it. Farid, maybe it's Farid Zakari. Farid, I don't know. There he is. Farid. Yeah, Zakari. Farid Zakari. He was going on about how he basically starts naming off while he's being interviewed. He's in this interview with this other lady. The pundits are talking back and forth. And he starts talking about how they need to, you know, maintain this. They go back to this, this and that, this different policies, you know, stay in Mexico, the asylum issues, get tough on the border. And the lady goes, so just adopting the Trump policies. Basically, is what she, because that's my, it's not exactly what she said, but that's, he goes, well, yeah. The only way to beat Trump is to just be Trump, I guess, at this point, try to imitate Trump. And which is, again, they have no foresight. They're just reacting. You can't do that. This is like what Mike Pence tried to do. In our administration, wasn't the Trump administration. It was in our administration, we did this, we did that. So I'm going to do all this. But that's what Trump does. It's how why are you trying to be Trump when we can just get Trump? You can't, which is, this is going to be the same kind of thing. It's like you're trying to imitate your, well, I'm not, but I'm not him. I don't send out nasty tweets. You probably don't know what a tweet is. I don't understand you're not offering anything different. You're just offering the same thing in a different wrapper. And unfortunately, the wrapper's been opened and it's spoiled. I don't understand. But this is where they're at right now. They're at a loss because they realize they're losing the American people. I believe the polls are usually about 2 to 3 weeks behind where the American people really are. I don't know why that is. Because some polls are taken out immediately, but I think the problem is some of the stuff has to soak out into the communities. I think that there's so much that people aren't really connected to. By that I mean they're not paying attention the way, you know, maybe somebody like I do, or people who listen to this podcast, I think are probably more in touch with what's going on in the world, in the country, in the nation, and politically. Because they care, genuinely care, not just, oh, I'm going to glue my hands to the street care, not that kind of care, but actually care about this country and freedoms and individuals and other people other than themselves, the bigger picture, the something larger than themselves and their little life. And they get engaged with what's going on around them, at least, you know, educate themselves on what's going on around them. And I think that's where the Democrats, not the Democrats necessarily, people who would call themselves independents, as well as the Democrats, they don't pay attention to what's going on. They have no clue. They believe whatever is put in front of them, and they feel a certain way. they're very much emotionally and whatever they feel at the time seems to be where they're at. So I don't know about all this, how crazy this is. It seems crazy to me that they are just beside themselves right now with the fact that, well, now the one, of course, they make these issues of, well, you know, the courts, you know, they're Trump is winning only because he's cheating or whatever it is. So now this Stormy Daniels thing, now Bill Maher actually brought up this interview that he had with her, with Stormy back in the day. I think this was back several years ago. And she was telling a very different story. She said there was no, this wasn't a Me Too incident. This wasn't, you know, it was all consensual. It was a deal. She wasn't forced. She wasn't under any kind of duress. It wasn't that at all. Now on the stand, she's saying that. She's saying that her hands were trembling. He was blocking the door. It was, she almost blacked out at one point. Now, if people can't see this rhetoric for what it is, this is the, what was the lady's name that just won the big, she supposedly won this big lawsuit and all this stuff. And they can't even prove this stuff ever happened. In fact, Michael Cohen, the Stormy Daniels lawyer, not her lawyer, it was Trump's lawyer during this whole thing. This is how it could possibly have gone down. And this is why I there are some doubts in my head whether this event, this indiscretion ever even happened. It may have happened, I don't know. And if it did, so be it. I mean, it's disgusting. Yeah. But if it, this is how it possibly couldn't have happened. This is why there is some doubt in my, there's reasonable doubt in my mind. Michael Cohen saw Trump as a cash cow. He may have never even told Donald Trump what was going on with Stormy Daniels. I believe Stormy and Michael knew each other. Who knows how they met or what they were involved in? Or how he was getting reimbursed for certain things. But basically, I believe he came up with this story and she was in cahoots with this whole thing. I'm not sure what cahoots even means, but they were conspiring together in this whole thing. This is very possible, knowing what kind of person Michael Cohen is. They decided to go after the extortion issue on Trump. So it was Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen who were extorting Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump may not have even known that the payments were being made or paying off any kind of hush money, so to speak. He claims it didn't happen. She claimed several years ago that it didn't happen. But now she says, well, now I'm not under the NDA. That's not how an NDA works. Non-disclosure doesn't mean you lie about what that you change your story. I have signed probably 100 NDAs in my life, at least. And I guarantee you, it had nothing to do with me. Well, I have to tell this. I have to make up a story. I can't simply say that's, I can't disclose that information. You don't go out. If anybody asks me about it, I can't talk about it. If anybody, no, and I can't just go out and talk about it on my own, because that would be just divulging information that I agreed that I would not tell. Usually it has to do with contracts with voiceover work. So if they, you know, if a company is coming out with an advertising campaign or some kind of a special thing that they're introducing and I'm doing a voiceover for them, and I now have privileged information. I have information about this, about what they're about to roll out. I'm doing the advertising for them, or I'm doing an internal narration for some sort for the company for something that they're going to do. It's all information they don't want their competitors to find out about. So I will sign an NDA. I can't talk about it. I can't use the information. I can't do anything with this. No, because I could go to their competitor and say, "Hey, I got inside information on what this company's about to do. I'll sell it to you." And I think I could do that kind of. That would be illegal. I'd be breaking my contract with them. It'd be a civil trial, but it'd be. So that's what an NDA is for. Now, she claims she was under this NDA and she couldn't. I don't even know if she knows what NDA stands for. So she couldn't do that. Lawrence O'Donnell made her out to be some kind of nun going in to testify. Her testimony, by the way, was horrible. Even people on the left are talking about how she destroyed her own self in that testimony. She was terrible on the stand. Not according to Lawrence O'Donnell. Lawrence O'Donnell, who is so deranged with the Trump hatred, she came in dressed in black like a nun. She was, I mean, all this, maybe I can find this. This is just absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. It is almost sickening how... how bad this is. I really need to be able to play this audio. And I don't have a whole lot of time left. If I can find this before I end up, if I had a producer, I could just say, "Hey, get on this." I could just pull it up. I could just say, "Hey, pull it up. Pull up clip 5, 5A. I don't have that option here. If anyone would like to volunteer as my producer, also as my sponsor. Speaking of sponsors, notice there's no sponsors on this show. I was in a discussion with somebody about this the other day. Take a look sometime. Just listen to bite the bullet and listen to Sean Hannity for an hour. And pay close attention to the content. Not the advertising, not the show, not the intro, not all the stuff, not all the clips. Pay attention to the content. When Sean Hannity speaks... they have this 5-minute introduction. Let freedom ring. They sing this song. They do all this stuff. They got all these clips that they play. They come in. He finally comes in. He gives his little monologue. It lasts about 10 minutes. He ends up, of course, then they go to break. It's, 15 minutes in. Go to break. They have advertisements. They have at least two breaks before the bottom of the hour, which is another break, which is another 5-minute break. For local broadcasting news or whatever it's going to happen in advertising. So all this stuff happens. Let me see if I can type this in real quick. There we go. Lawrence O'Donnell. Here he is. Lawrence O'Donnell. Let's see what he has to say. Oh, okay. Wait, word. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in here. I'm going to play in the background. You guys won't be able to hear it. This is probably going to have his thing on it. So what was I talking about? I've already lost my way. Oh, my word, it's Monday. I have... what was I talking about? It was a pretty good story. Remember what it was. Chai always seems to help a little bit, to some degree. I think I was talking about content. So the content of the show. Now even when he has guests on, he'll have somebody come on, he'll have a caller, he'll talk to somebody, interview somebody, whatever it is. And it's what's called short form interviews. Now, one of the things I appreciate about, you can say what you will what's his name? Well, I'm having a terrible time with names today. I'm starting to worry about my memory. What am I doing here? The great one, Levin, Mark Levin, when he was, he has a show. He has what's called long form interviews. He'll interview somebody for a long period of time. Sean Hannity is short form. Even on those particular shows, now they still repeat things several times. And unfortunately, with Sean Hannity, he'll have a guest on or a caller, and he'll start in with him talking, doing all the talking. He'll talk for another minute or two, let the person respond to what has to say, and then the person, he'll interrupt him in the middle of it. He talks over everybody. It's extremely annoying to me because it doesn't seem like a conversation. Mark Levin will sit there and stare in the camera while the other person's talking. He'll let them talk, and then he'll have a response. And he has no facial expression, doesn't nod his head, agree, or anything else. He just sits there and lets the person talk. Now, I've noticed that Tucker Carlson is good at that as well. Now, once in a while, he'll agree with them, whatever they're saying, but he'll sit there and listen to them, let them talk, and say whatever they want to say. Sean Hannity's not that way. But now that's a little bit off topic. The question here is content. How much content is there in an hour-long show? In that hour-long show, that first 10-minute monologue is just repeated for the next hour. And then, unfortunately, whatever happens in the first hour is repeated the second hour and the third hour. There's not a lot of original content from that point on. You have a three-hour show, and most of it, first of all, is commercials and other news and other things. And on this show, all I do is talk about people doing that kind of thing. You'll have a 30-minute show. It's like 3 hours of content in 30 minutes. It's like a highly concentrated soap. That's what this is. It's like highly concentrated shampoo or something. The news, according to me, is highly concentrated. Sometimes I just need to concentrate on what I'm doing. Like this cat down here that needs to be petted. She's been very quiet this morning for some reason. Not sure what's going on with that. So we have this content issue. So here's Lawrence O'Donnell. Now I'm gonna try to find this clip of him. Here we go. Oh, this is it. This is the one I was looking for. We're gonna play this because
in the room hit a new high.
Here we go.
At 10:32 a.m.
10:32 a.m.
She entered wearing all black, as if on her way to a funeral. The loose-fitting, plain black clothing draping from her shoulders to her toes suggested the modesty of a nun. The makeup was minimal, the way she and the other moms in her neighborhood might look.
Her other moms in her neighborhood.
The long blonde hair held up with a clip at the back of her head. The way it might be in a utilitarian way while she was doing dishes or checking one of the horseshoes on her.
Is doing dishes what, is that what women do, Lawrence? Is that a woman thing? Or checking one of the horseshoes on her. She has horses, apparently. That's something the average American woman has at home.
Her horse, she later spoke of so proudly. When she walked by him, her face had the same expressionless, somber look that all the jurors always have when they walk by him, looking at the floor. She didn't look at him.
They're told they're not supposed to look at him.
The first time they were in a room together, his bodyguard was standing outside the door. This time, his bodyguards were much closer. She was alone in the room.
What does that even mean?
This time, there were over.
By the way, how do we know his bodyguards were standing outside the door? Because the bodyguards aren't being tested, or they're not giving any testimony. Notice that they're not asking them any questions because there weren't any there.
100 people in the room, all watching her, except him. He didn't look at her. When she sat down, a court officer said, quote, pull your chair up to the microphone and state your first and last name and spell your name for the record. The witness.
Now, this happens in every court proceeding. What? Why is he repeating? The court officer, pull your chair up to the microphone and state your first and last name. And spell your last name for the record. And they're putting this the words up on the screen. Court documents. The witness, ready? My name is Stormy Daniels. Last name is Daniels.
Ready? My name is Stormy Daniels. Last name is Daniels. The court. All right. Good morning, Ms. Daniels. The witness. Thank you. The court. You may inquire.
Okay. This just goes on. So the nun, Stormy Daniels, in her little suburban home with her horses and her dishes. What is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with this guy? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with this guy. It is called TDS Max, version 12, on steroids. It is, this guy is absolutely insane. He's nuts. The Trump worm has eaten his brain away. There's something very wrong with these people. Now, there was another guy. He ended up getting booted off of MSNBC, whatever it is. I don't know where they got over there. They had he got booted off of them, and he's now on his own. He's in a basement. He's kind of like Lawrence O'Donnell, but I can't even think of his name. But he goes on these rants about how all these people need to be removed from society. Republicans and Sean Hannity's and all those people need to be removed from society. There's something wrong, like mentally wrong with these people. Oh, you people waving your flags and all your... Yeah. It's because the alternative is Rashida Tlaib, who comes out saying that Israel needs to be gone. There's a very interesting short I heard over the weekend. It was Alan Dershowitz's brother, and I can't think of what his name is. I'm pretty sure his last name is Dershowitz, but I can't think of what his first name is. The guy was being, he was at a college, he was at a campus, and this one lady who's very popular for standing up for, she seems to show up on a lot of videos, and she was there with her head covering on, and she was going on about, and she was talking about, you know, river to the sea, all this stuff. And so he was talking to her, and she was going on this rant, and she, at the finish of the rant, and this is where the short picks up. He says, okay, I just want to ask you one question. This will answer everything. And he said something to the effect of, you know, there was a man who made a comment about having all of the Jews gather in Israel. He said he would prefer that they would all gather in Israel. He wants to give them all Israel so that they're only going to fight them in one place. They don't have to hunt them down throughout the world and kill them. And he goes, do you agree or disagree to that? She said, I agree. So that's all I need to hear from you. Now we know where you're at. They want all the Jews killed. This is genocide. This is genocide. Insert whatever group you want in there, wanting them all killed, whoever they are, that's genocide. And yet, these people are the ones who claim to be the righteous ones on the higher plane. Ones who are morally better than any, quote, dirty Jew. This is the sickness that gets into people's heads. There's, you know, the guy who was, he's been in the news recently quite a bit more, actually. When the first time I heard this guy talk, I just thought, well, he's just mad at his dad. But this guy's, he's the son of the head of Hamas. This guy is more based, I think, than probably anybody I may have recorded him actually in his last. If I can, I will play this tomorrow. I'm hoping there will be a show tomorrow morning. The rest of the week is very uncertain, but there possibly will be a show tomorrow morning. At this point, it looks like there could possibly be. It's questionable, but there could be. Now, having said that, if I can, I'll play that audio tomorrow, because it is very, this guy is very on point and very based. That's the term for, you know, grounded. His insight of the geopolitical system over there, he talks about the fact that there's no Palestinians. There's no difference between Hamas and Palestinians. He has a very clear connection. The way he says it is, I'm not going to try to even pretend to say it the way he says it, because he says it so succinctly. It was very good. And he makes the distinction between tribes and people groups, and it's that kind of, you know, that kind of identity in terms of who they are and what's going on with this whole thing. And it's very, very interesting to hear someone like this talk about this stuff. And it was, he was, man, just right on point. I couldn't have said it any better. I couldn't either. He was very articulate about the whole thing. And he had much better understanding of it. I thought he was just out there looking for his little 15 minutes of fame and mad at his dad. That's not the case at this point. I don't believe that. I think he actually has some understanding of geopolitical people group issues societally. So it's very interesting. I'll try to find that tomorrow. But in the meantime, we will, we'll hear the exit music coming in. And we will just continue on. I'm thinking about getting a new theme song. I might write something of my own. I don't know. That's always a touchy situation. I thought about doing it before at the beginning of the year. I think I might do it on July 4th. That's what I'm kind of thinking, is that we make it a new theme song on July 4th. See how that works out. I'm not sure if there's even going to be a show on July 4th, because I'm not sure if it falls on a weekend or not. Let me say, hey, that late music's getting kind of loud. Turn it back. There you go. Thank you. Now the dogs are barking. We have, it's time to go. Dogs start barking. It's time to go. Folks, I just want to thank you for listening. Thank you for participating in any way you can. Mostly by listening. That's just, I don't ask for sponsors. I don't ask for anything else, but I appreciate your listenership. Pray for the nation. Have a great week, folks. God bless. Take care.